Welcome to Advent at Word of Life Online. Advent is the anticipation for the coming Messiah. As followers of Jesus, Advent is a reminder of all the birth of Jesus means to us in bringing us hope, peace, joy, and love.
In today's service, we have a mixture of modern and traditional elements. And so I encourage you, no matter where you are at, to open up your heart and participate fully in each portion of the service. So that means that you're going and getting communion elements. That means that you're singing when we're having congregational singing and reading aloud as we read the scripture together.
As you give yourself fully, I know that you will experience the power of God on a very personal level. Welcome to Church Online.
Today, as we close Advent, just in a moment of reflection, this has been a really different year for Advent and the Christmas season. God's done some unusual things, and it's been really, really good. I don't know how it's been. For me, it's been very impactful. How about the spoken words from Tiffany? Haven't those been every week? I think she should do one every week, like forever. I'm telling you, though, like such a gift to the body. So thank you for doing those. Just incredible. Worship, another level. And I know it's not easy to do all those songs and different songs. And, man, it's just so good. I believe that everything that has been happening this month is laying a foundation for us for what God has in 2025. And in wrapping up thoughts on Advent and thoughts on love, this isn't going to be your, like, traditional. I think you've come to realize that I don't do very many things traditional. This isn't going to be like your traditional the Sunday before Christmas service. We're going to have a call to action today. Because I believe that in talking about Christmas, we've said Christmas is all about Jesus, and yes, it is. But then we also said Christmas is all about you, and yes, it is. But I believe there's one more thing that Christmas is all about. Christmas is all about the world. Christmas is all about the world. See, the only reason that Jesus came to us in the form of a baby, he was born unto this world, the reason why he was laid in a manger, the reason why he walked this earth, the reason why he died, the reason why he rose again was the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The reason why Jesus came was for the world. It was his love for the broken, his love for the hurting, for the wounded, that took Jesus from his throne of heaven to the stable in Bethlehem. His love for the hopeless that took Jesus to Golgotha. It was Jesus' love for the lost that caused him to go to hell for us and take the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Amen. See, I believe that it was the Father's love for mankind that raised up Jesus to be seated at his right hand to eternally make intercession for the saints. It was the ultimate example of love that has been shown to us that we have in the message of the season, the instruction for our lives. It's the rallying cry of the church, for God so loved the world. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you today once again for this day and for your love and for your acceptance. God, we pray that you speak to us today through Holy Spirit and reveal truth to us in Jesus' name. Amen. We know that love has been perfected in us by how we see the world. And it's the ultimate example of love that's been shown to us that we carry out these walls and into the street. You know, as a church, we like to think of what we do every week as important. But if what's happening inside these walls is not flooding out into the streets, it's too small. At Word of Life, Our call is to lead in love. All forms of people, every picture of family, to find every crack of society, and to show them that there's a God who is so insanely head over heels in love with them that he literally laid everything on the line for the chance to have a relationship with them. For you to know him and to accept his gift of freedom, for you to know his grace and to give him permission to build his life in you. So that you don't feel hurt, so that you don't feel heartache, so that you don't experience the crumbling of all that you hold so close to your heart, but so that you can know that this love that he embodies stood as substitute for me. He was crushed so that you can be strong. He was bruised so that you can be whole. He was murdered so that you were made alive. That's the love that we have to show to the world. That's why we exist as a church. That's why we exist at Word of Life. See, we need to be actively examining our love constantly in the way that we act and the way that we react. We need to be constantly examining, constantly judging ourselves. I say that word hesitantly because we have such a negative connotation to it. But we need to, I'm not saying you need to be constantly judging others. I'm saying you need to be constantly judging yourself up against the example of Christ. Am I showing his love and how I act and react? And if I'm not, Jesus, form your love in me. Jesus, form your love in me. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. See, are my actions promoting love? If they're not, they're not of God. We're very fond of this saying in church. We love the sinner, hate the sin. We have a shirt here at Word of Life. We're actually getting ready to get some more of them. Love the sinner, hate the sin, but why can't we just say love the sinner, or better yet, why can't we just say love? When did it become my job to label somebody as a sinner? Amen? Why can't we just say love? It's my job to love. I'll let God sort out the heart. My job is just to love. That's it. In Luke chapter 5 and verse number 1, it says, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and they were listening to the word of God. And he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and he asked him to put it out a little from the shore. And then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put it out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered, he said, Master, we've worked all night and we haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I'll let down the nets. So when he had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break, and they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and to help them. And they came and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. So when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and he said, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and Simon's partners. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid, for now you will fish for people. And so they pulled their boats up on the shore, they left everything, and they followed him. I want to point out some things about love in this passage. First of all, the place that they were at is Jesus was by the lake at Gennesaret. And you may have heard me say this before, but it's a beautiful picture whenever we see Jesus at Gennesaret, because Gennesaret was a place that was known for being very fertile, that the soil there was so rich that literally anything could grow there. I find it really interesting that at a place that was rich in soil where anything could grow, Jesus pulled the boat out and he said, I need to talk to all these people and to teach them. Because the soil was ready for them to receive what he had to say to them. Jesus began to teach them as they were planted in a place of growth. And then Jesus said to the fishermen who were not disciples yet, he said to them, let's go from this place of growth and let's launch out into the deep. So you've been sitting in a place of growth and you've been receiving from the Spirit of God, but I believe that today and in this Christmas season, in this Advent season, God's calling us to go from a place where we've been growing, and he says, let's continue that, but I want to take you further, so let's go out into the deep. That word deep, it means to move ourselves into the fullness. I said that this was laying a foundation for 2025 because I believe for many of us, God wants to take us to the fullness. That it's not enough just to sit in a place of growth. We've been sitting in a place of fertile soil, but God's calling us to action. And he's saying, I don't want to just have you right here in this place, but I want to take you into the deep. I want to take you into the fullness. I'm telling you, this isn't your traditional Christmas message. This is a call to action. Jesus ushered in the age of fullness. And so my declaration today is that this is not just a moment of reflection in the Christmas season. It's a moment of revelation of the fullness of the Messiah and the power of the Christ that has come to you, amen, that was born under the Christmas tree of heaven. What joy means and what hope means and what peace means and what his love means, amen. Praise God. Paul said it this way in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. He said, but when the fullness of time had come, Jesus told the fishermen here, I want to take you from a place of growth to a place of discipleship, and let's launch out into the deep. God's calling us to launch out into the deep because Jesus ushered in the age of the fullness. When the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those that were under the law so that we might receive the adoption as sons. See, I want you to understand that Christmas was not just about a baby that was born to us. Jesus came to fulfill. Jesus came to bring the fullness. When the time was right and the fullness had come, Jesus ushered in the age of fullness for us so that we could know that I am no longer bound by a set of laws that I cannot keep. But today, because Jesus came, I live in a place of grace that he brought me to a place of redemption. Amen. Hallelujah. He has brought us to a place of redemption. And my prayer is that this Christmas season that you step into the fullness. That it's not just about a baby, but it's about a revelation of a Messiah. That it's a revelation of the Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. I feel like at times we grow weary in the work. See, if you're growing weary in the work of the church, if you're growing weary in the work of redemption, if you're growing weary in the work of salvation, then you're not understanding the fullness. See, I think sometimes, just like those fishermen, we grow weary in the work and it keeps us from a place of fullness. See, when Jesus came to them, they had fished all night. They had caught nothing. They were washing their nets. They were discouraged from the work. See, they were out there fishing, but they were discouraged from the work. They were broken from the work. They were beaten down from the work. Like many of us, we work and we work and we work and we toil and we spin and all of the things, and we just can't make it work. Well, Jesus came and he said, "You've been in a place of growth, but I need to take you to a place of fullness. Go out into the deep." But sometimes their weariness from the work keeps them from the fullness. What did they say when he said, "Let's go out into the deep"? "Master, with all respect, we've worked a lot and it brought us nothing." Not trying to be disrespectful here, but I've worked and I've worked and I've worked and it hasn't brought me anything. How many times do we go to God and we say, "God, I love you, but with all respect, I've worked and I've worked and I've worked and it's brought me nothing"? And he says, "You don't understand the fullness. You don't understand the fullness." The fishermen, even though they didn't understand, they said a very important word. They said, "Nevertheless." "I don't get it, because I've done everything I know to do. I don't get it. I don't get I could do this and that, and I could be so far away, and my actions could make me fall short. I don't get how I could fit into the plan of redemption, but nevertheless, I will trust you. But nevertheless, I will obey you. But nevertheless, at your word." Isn't that what Mary said? "I'm not worthy to carry the Messiah. I am flattered that you came to me and you said that I will carry the Messiah, the chosen one. But God, why did you choose me? I'm not worth it. I'm not worthy." But Mary said the same words that the fisherman said on that day when God said, "I want to bring the fullness in you." They said, "Nevertheless." Mary said, "But be it unto me according to your word." Not my word, but your word. God, bring the fullness in me. I don't understand it. I don't get it, but you growing me, and now I'm ready to launch out into the deep to experience the fullness. "Nevertheless, I will trust you." See, we're trying to make ends meet. It feels like we're spinning our wheels. See, but they changed their situation when they were willing to be a vessel for Jesus. They planted the seed in fertile ground. We often let our situation dictate our participation in God's plan. But God's saying, "No, I want you to do life with me. And I'll take care of you." So your participation in the plan of God removes you from bogging down the process of solving your problems on your own. It gives the Almighty God the opportunity to be glorified in your weakness. When God shows up and he shows off in your life, you can't help but call your friends, but call your family, but call your neighbors, but tell your coworkers to throw it in the face of your enemies. Draw attention to your amazing God. See, your nets aren't big enough, your nets aren't strong enough to contain his goodness. But you begin to sink, but when you sink, you're sinking into all that he is as he overwhelms you with his presence. See, that's the message of Christmas. He is overwhelming us with his presence. You know, sometimes we're like Peter, and we say, "Go away from me because I'm sinful. I don't deserve your goodness." But we see there in Luke chapter 5, Jesus didn't give consideration to Peter's feelings of inadequacy. Jesus said, no, but from now on, I'm going to change the way that you fish. I'm not just going to change this one situation for you. I'm going to change this entire behavior for you so that you just see the world differently. Jesus isn't concerned with your inadequacies because it's not you who live, it's Christ who lives. See, you aren't going to do life alone anymore. Today, we're going to a higher way of living. It's a day of your restoration today. Sometimes during our journey, even though we've seen God do mighty things, we still focus on our self-effort in order to fix us rather than the sacrifice that he paid once and for all. We tend to grow tired, and once again, we're pulled to abandon the work that God's done in our life because all we see is the shortcoming instead of his perfection. We see this with the disciples just 3.5 years after the day on the Sea of Galilee when Jesus called them. Jesus had been crucified, he had been buried, and he had been resurrected. But their eyes were focused somewhere else. 21 verse 3, Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. And he said to them, we're going with you. And so they went out and immediately they got in the boat and that night they caught nothing. Sound familiar? And when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples didn't know that it was Jesus. They didn't know that he had risen. And then Jesus said to them, and they answered him, and they said, no. He said, well, cast the net on the other side of the boat, and you'll find some. And so they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple who Jesus loved said to Peter, I love it that John wrote this, and he just refers to himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. That he's talking about himself. I'm the one that Jesus loved. Shouldn't we all think that way?
Yes.
Amen. Therefore, the disciple who Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. And so when Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garments, for he had removed it, and he plunged into the sea. I don't understand why he got dressed to jump in the water. I don't get that. But anyway, maybe there's something there that I'm missing. It says that he put on his garment and he plunged into the sea, but the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, about 200 cubits, and dragging the net with the fish. Then as soon as they had come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153, and although there were so many, the net was not broken. And Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Because they knew that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. Now this is the third time that he had shown himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead, and Jesus and Peter. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, then feed my lambs. And he said to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, then tend my sheep. And he said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he asked this a third time. And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. We see later on that Peter had a revelation of what Jesus meant on that day by the sea. He says in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 8, Peter writing, he says, above all things, I have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. So be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each of you has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. That word oracles means one who is fluent in language and in the tone of God. He's saying love will cover a multitude of sins, so don't hold back. Go out, and when you speak, speak as one who understands the language and the tone of Father God. And if anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability that who supplies? God supplies. Don't do it in your own ability. Do it in the ability God supplies. He says, and in all things, church, say all things. In all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. See, we have a revelation of Jesus. We have become intimate with the knowledge of his sacrifice, and we have experienced his love, that we would no longer live for ourselves, but we would follow his example. Jesus crucified his life so that he live for mine. My abundance is found when I crucify my life to live for my neighbors. It's then when I begin to experience the benefit of him living for me. See, when Jesus went to his disciples, and he was talking with Peter, and he said, Peter, do you love me? This is what he wanted. He said he was wanting his disciples to get this revelation that Jesus, I love you more than I need money. I love you more than I need comfort. I love you more than I need rest. I love you more than I need to just figure things out. I love you more than I need to get rid of stress, because you could understand that if you know Jesus, if you love Jesus, if you follow Jesus, if you step into the fullness of what he has for you, that he is the Prince of Peace and the comfort is there. We keep chasing these things on our own without understanding that he has provided them already. I love you more than I need rest, because I understand that you said, come to me and I will give you rest. See, Jesus has plans for us. The Father has laid out the steps of the righteous. And so we love him more than in ourselves. We need to figure things out, because he's already figured it out for us. We love him more than we just need to get rid of stress, because Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus said, I took care of your sins. I've taken care of your well-being when I was crucified. I know it sounds crazy, but this is the mad love. So if you'll follow the example of Jesus, if you'll crucify your life and follow his example, you'll be a success. See, the journey of Advent is an anticipation for the coming Messiah. Church, I don't want you to lose that anticipation on December 26th. I don't want you to lose the anticipation that you've built on December 26th or in the year 2025. Yes, Jesus came to finish the work. But when my eyes are open in the morning and I wake up with an anticipation because my life is hidden with God in Christ, I have hope because the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. I have peace because I've been accepted in the Beloved. I have joy because every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. And I scream the love of my Savior because he first loved me. I want to leave you with this thought today. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. And so just like a child on Christmas morning, receive the fullness today. Receive the fullness of what Christ has done. The fullness of Messiah. The fullness of the Christ. Amen. Praise God. Praise God.